I'm driving into oncoming traffic. My thinking is clear. I imagine every detail before it happens. Headlights kissing. Crash. Shatter. Metal twisting. Done. It's quite vivid. Cecibel folded the bedsheets fresh from the line, just like Mrs. Peppernell liked them. The old woman's vivid dreaming unsettled her, unsettled them both. So too did the new doctor, drawing the recurring dream into the light. For Mrs. Peppernell, Cecibel would futz about the room, pretend to be diligently working. For her, Cecibel would do most anything. Done, you say? Do you die in your dream, Olivia? Dr. Kintz's pen paused. Olivia? I have asked you to call me Mrs. Peppernell. We try to be a little less formal here. Informality is for intimates. You are not my friend. You're my shrink. We don't use that word, Olivia. Mrs. Peppernell. She slammed her knotty hand on the arm of the easy chair. And don't interrupt me, you impertinent boy. Setting the sheets into the hope chest, Cecibel tried to make eye contact and, failing that, let the lid slip just enough to make an audible click. Olivia's gaze flicked her way. Their eyes met. Her wrinkled cheek twitched. If you insist upon calling me Olivia, Mrs. Peppernell said evenly, I shall call you Richard, or Dick if that is your preference. Would it make you happy to call me Richard? It would make me happy if you would use the title I earned with 62 years of marriage. And it would make me even happier if you would stop speaking in the royal we. Now go away, Dick. I am finished being monitored for today. Dr. Kintz heaved a sigh, not the first psychiatrist to do so over Mrs. Peppernell. He would learn, or he would earn every lash of her wicked tongue. Tucking his pen into his pocket, his notebook under his arm, he leaned a little closer than experience would soon warn him against. Forgive me, Mrs. Peppernell. Feel free to call me Richard, but please don't call me Dick. We, you and I, not the royal we, can pick up on this conversation tomorrow, if you're up to it. The old woman brushed imaginary lint from her impeccable trousers. That would be agreeable, Dr. Kintz. Good day. Good day. He bowed his head. If he glanced Cecibel's way, she didn't know. She turned her face to the wall before he could. Then he was gone with a soft click of the door. Poor Dr. Kintz. Only a week in the pen and he still had no idea what he was in for. Those who left made sure not to tell. Those who stayed knew better.
Fetch my medicine, will you, dear?
Cecibel lifted the lid of the cedar chest again, once a place to store hopes for the future. It held only the past now. And sheets. And marijuana. The scent of it permeated everything. Moving aside the cotton, always cotton, never polyester, quilt, awaiting winter, Cecibel pulled the baggie from its folds.
You're running a bit low. I'll have more ready soon enough.
Olivia took the baggie from Cecibel's outstretched hand.
The last crop is all but ready. Join me?
No, thank you, Mrs. Peppernell.
Don't be silly, child.
Olivia, Cecibel amended, smiling openly.
The old woman never grimaced, never winced. Ghoulish is as ghoulish does. She'd said it without a trace of condescension or pity, without apologizing afterward.
Do you have a moment to walk me outside, dear?
Of course.
Cecibel gave her arm.
You could do that here if you want to. No one would care.
What am I, a barbarian? Gentle people don't smoke indoors. It's rude.
Olivia leaned on her, light as breeze. The power of her wit, her words, those ice-chip blue eyes, did not extend to her physical form. Once, long ago, she'd been a driving force in literary New York, a crusader for women. Longer ago,
She was what all debutantes skating the last sharp edge of Victorianism were. A wife, a mother, a homemaker.